And today it is a nice, fine, sunny day that the Lord has chosen to give us. Now today is Palm Sunday, a very special day. We'll talk more about it later. It's also known as Passion Sunday. But I choose to use today to celebrate the joy and the palm part of it. And I leave Good Friday to celebrate the passion and the bad part of it. So I'm going to split today up. You can do it either way. I just can't see trying to blend the both. Now, to have Palm Sunday, we need palms. So now, with the help of Liam and Corbin, let us bring the palms into the sanctuary. Thank you, guys. Now, I want to take a minute this morning in the announcements and explain something. You know, there's a lot of things that we do in church. We did a lot of things we do in our lives that sometimes we don't necessarily know why we do them. Now, a lot of the things that we do here in the Methodist Church spring from the Catholic Church. I mean, most every Christian religion does that. And one of the things, when I was growing up, and that I've continued to do all my life, is on Palm Sunday, a practicing Catholic would bring home a palm frond or two, and if they were creative, they would fold it into the shape of a cross, and you'd hang it someplace appropriate in your house. Some people would put it over the door. Some people would put it in their bedroom. My parents did both. We wound up having a palm cross over the door when you came in the house, and on the crucifix, the cross that hung in their bedroom. And I got to admit that on and off over the years, I've done the same tradition. I still do it now. And it's just an interesting thing is I never really knew why. And the reason that they did it and they put it in a special place is just to remind them that Palm Sunday isn't lost to the ages, but that by Christ's victory, they could also obtain everlasting life. Now, for Catholics, the palms symbolize peace and victory. And it's indicative of the battle that they want to win against the evil in themselves and against the evil which roams about us. Now, one other thing that was strange that we did, wasn't strange, but we did it, is on the Palm Sunday that you brought the palms home, we would burn the previous year's palms. I never was sure why, but it turns out we could also have buried them, but it was easier to burn them. And the reason you did that is that the palms that were distributed in the Catholic Church were blessed, and as such, they had to be disposed of with a certain amount of dignity. Now, we in the Methodist Church, we do burn the palms. Whatever is left here today, we put in a safe place and we keep it till next year. And like we did for this Ash Wednesday, we burn them and then we use them to distribute the ashes on Ash Wednesday. Now, if anybody should want to carry on or start or try that tradition, feel free. At the end of the service, come up, grab a palm frond or two, and I printed the instructions for how to fold them to make a cross. Now, I'm going to tell you, I looked at the instructions. They look a little bit complicated. If you do it, you may want to try YouTube. But it's just a little bit of a side, a little bit of something different to talk about on this today. It's Palm Sunday. Now, we have a lot of announcements today. I'm going to wear myself out just on announcements. Now, something that is always good to see, we have a couple of guests today. Sitting in the back, you have Patty and you have Corbin. And I happen to know them. We met and have known each other a long time from Kingston, which should be obvious since we've already put Corbin to work. I mean, you know, he's just now visiting his first time. We've already had him delivering palms up here and we put him to work. So I'm sure we'll welcome them. I'm not sure how long they'll be with us, maybe a week, maybe 2 or 3 months. But for now, Patty and Corbin will be attending services here. Now on Tuesday, April 15th, we're hosting a Lent luncheon. It's going to be at the First Christian Church down the road, and it starts at 11:30 a.m. Now the menu and the food's all taken care of. However, anyone who would want to volunteer or anyone who would want to make a donation, it would be greatly appreciated. See me, see Wanda, see somebody. We'll help you with that. Now you can still order lilies to be placed in honor or in memory of somebody. April 16th is the last day you can order them. There's an order form in the bulletins. Just fill it out, turn it in, you know, same thing to myself, the office, Wanda, somebody, and we'll take care of it. Maundy Thursday is April 27th this year, and we will not be having a Maundy Thursday service. So please, don't show up down here. We are not going to have one this year. However, Good Friday is April 18th, and at 6 p.m. we will be having a Good Friday service. Now, our birthdays and anniversary celebration is going to be on the 27th of this month. Same as normal, cupcakes, cookies, ice cream. And I've been pretty good at it, so I'd expect us to see a raisin bread or so there. When I came here, I said I don't intend to change things, and I don't. I'm very happy with the way things are. But like anything else in this world, sometimes you have to make an exception. So in the month of May, we're going to make a slight change. Communion Sunday is not going to be the first Sunday of the month. It's going to be the second Sunday of the month. And I'll give a little bit more explanation of that in a minute. Now, one of the things that I miss, and I'm sure we all miss here, is we don't see a lot of young, youthful faces very often. And we unfortunately don't have anything in the way of actual live music as far as pianos or organs or anybody singing hymns. Now, unfortunately, I don't have a long-term answer for that. But I do have a short-term answer to do something about that. So on our normal Communion Sunday in the month of May, we're going to have a special service. The Shore Church, which most of us probably know better as Kingston United Methodist Church, their youth group is going to come down and conduct the entire service with Liam. He's definitely included in the youth group. And we're going to have a youth service Sunday. I've been told that unless something goes wrong, they're also going to come down with somebody to play the piano, and we're going to have some hymns and some singing involved. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope it's a little bit of a welcome break and a treat to get some youthful faces back in here. At least once in a while, I want to try to do something like that. And we will have 2 cookies, cupcake, and ice cream days in the month of May. Because after that service that the youth are going to conduct, we're going to invite them over and feed them a little bit and say thank you and, you know, maybe give each of us a chance to thank them for putting the time and the effort into conducting the service for us. Now, I know most of this group who's going to be conducting the service, and I can tell you that in the past they've done a very creditable job. I think we'll be pleased with what we're going to see. Does anybody have anything else? Like I said, that was a mouthful today. We had a lot of announcements. announcements took too long. We ran out of oil.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please stand as we sing our call to worship, which is Jesus is all the world to me. Glorious Heavenly Father, on this day we begin a week of contrasts as we go from hope to despair and back to hope again. As we begin the week, as we join the crowds, we ask that you help us to cut through all the noise and enable us to see what is happening, to see what is at stake. And as the story unfolds, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to help open us up to both the hope and to the pain. In this time of worship, we ask that you prepare us to celebrate, to weep, and to await your glorious resurrection. In Jesus' name, we say, Amen.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, today we join Jesus in the final ascent to Jerusalem, knowing full well the depth to which we will descend to on our journey through this, our Holy Week. We join with the disciples in declaring that Jesus, riding on a donkey, is our ruler, the one who will bring peace and salvation for all. We join with the bystanders who questioned and who wondered at who this Jesus really is, who feared the consequences of angering the powers that might be. The journey through Holy Week brings us face to face with the stark reality of sin and God's faithfulness to save. Concern, I want to say, let us pray for the people who were in that helicopter crash into the Hudson River. There was a family. He was a corporate CEO. I guess they were touristing and visiting and mixing business with pleasure, and it certainly did not end very well for their vacation trip. So let us pray for them. And this week, we have all the normal, usual wars and crises and tragedies. But this week, I want us to try to remember that this is a week of joy and of sorrow. We go from joy to sorrow when Jesus is crucified, convicted, crucified. And then we go back to joy and elation as he rises. So let us, as we go out about our daily business this week, try to remember that there is an underlying joy, concern, joy present as we go through this week. Anybody have anything else?
Helicopter.
Well, that's what I had just said. We had the helicopter crash.
There was also a plane. The plane was the... Wait.
Was that in Atlanta? One. All right. There were no injuries, and you know, it is a challenge. It seems these days we're getting a lot of air traffic control problems. It was Reagan again. It was in D.C. Two planes did hit each other. Their two wingtips did collide. Nobody was injured. People were delayed, but I mean, it was another airline problem and tragedy. So, yeah, we seem to be having a lot of it these days. Anybody else? I'll tell you what, I don't mind the walk. Let me come down there. I can't hear, and I like people to hear what we're saying. So, how's it?
Let's do it this way. I mean, I don't mind the walk in this way. Everybody hears it.
I said just pray for our students as we start state testing and our end of the year testing this week.
Now that I'm ransomed.
And we just had one more reminder. We want to welcome back Tom and Larry. They've been gone for a little bit. It's good to see you back. Glad to see you here. And I would say it's good that prayers have been answered and everybody is recovered or somewhat and back in getting back to normal in Larry's case. So welcome back. Almighty and ever-loving God, in your holy name, you have called us and you have gathered us together. We come before you today, O God, to offer you our praise and our thanksgiving. We thank you for your many blessings, and we ask that you continue to guide us and lead us all along the path that you have set before us. We ask for your wisdom and your knowledge as we face the challenges of life. And we also seek your strength and your courage to overcome all obstacles that may be in our path. We pray for your guidance and for your protection as we go out into the world to do your will. And finally, we thank you for this time that we can be together here in this sanctuary and in your presence. So we ask you now that you would bless us as we worship you. Amen. And join me now in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It's now time for the presentation of God's tithes and offerings. God of peace, who reigns in unexpected ways, we gather before you in this season of Lent, bringing our gifts as an offering of our hearts. Just as the crowd welcomed Jesus with shouts of praise, we offer our lives in service to you and into your kingdom. Use these gifts to bring hope, healing, and love into a world that's longing for your peace. Bless these offerings and bless all who give them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you. Our next hymn is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Today's scripture is titled A Procession into Jerusalem. It's from Luke 19, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus said this, he continued on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As Jesus came to Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he gave two disciples a task. He said, "Go into the village over there, and when you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'Its master needs it.'" Those who had been sent found it exactly as he had said. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "Its master needs it." They brought it to Jesus. They threw their clothes on the colt, and they lifted Jesus up onto it. As Jesus rode along, they spread their clothes on the road. As Jesus approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole throng of his disciples began rejoicing. They praised God with a loud voice because of all the mighty things that they had seen. They said, "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens." Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop. And he answered, I tell you that if they were silent, the stones would shout. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I mentioned it before, but let's start by saying it. Today is commonly more normally known as Palm Sunday. But officially, it's Palm Passion Sunday. And this day is surely paradoxical on the calendar. Now, some would say that's controversial. I don't think so, because I believe that it's true. There is a paradox on this day, but is there only one paradox? I think not. I think there's more than one. Now, the obvious one is mixing palms and celebrations with passion on the same day. Now, how do you make one service contain emotions present in a celebration that was Palm Sunday parade and the painful solitary walk to the cross on Good Friday? Two opposite sides of the coin, two very different sets of emotions and feelings. I really don't know how you would or if I would want to try to blend the two of those all together. It just seems impossible to do. And in most churches that I've been to over my years, we make a choice to observe one over the other, as I have, and I chose to celebrate. I would rather observe the celebration and the Palm Sunday portion on this day, and I would rather leave the passion and the pain and the regret for Good Friday and keep the two separate. Now, there is a deeper paradox woven into this day that we might want to talk about and bring to light. And the reality of it is that on this day, those who lined the street and laid down their garments for Jesus to walk over and waved their branches and shouted, they got it right. They shouted, as we know, even though the Luke text doesn't record it, that they shouted, Hosanna. Hosanna had become, as Luke claims, a statement of praise, a celebration of the one who comes. But it also has a translation, and that translation is, save us. That's what the word Hosanna means. It means save us. So on that day, the crowd did get it right. Funny thing is they probably didn't even know it or realize it. Now, that's an assumption I'm making, and I admit it. I don't know what was really in their hearts and their minds on that day. We never will. But if you read on in the story, we recognize that even if in that moment, for a moment, that they knew what they were saying, unfortunately, it certainly did not last for long. To go from crying Hosanna to be crying crucify him seems a very long journey. But then again, maybe it's not. Within each of us is a capacity to claim Christ and also to reject him at the same time. Now, Palm and Passion Sunday is about the celebration and the acknowledgement of the one who comes in the name of the Lord God, our Heavenly Father. It's a time for a declaration of faith, and it's a time for a reaffirmation and a recommitment to discipleship as we follow Jesus Christ with our whole lives. Now, it's also a time of confession. It's a time of acknowledging that we don't live up to all the commitments that we may have made in the past. And also that our declarations with our lips often seem to be far from the actions that we take in our daily lives. Through it all, however, is the theme that the one who comes, he will come. No matter how many times we mess up, the Savior, he still comes. He comes riding into the heart of our city with an offer of redemption, with a promise of salvation. And we can all rejoice in that. So now we get into the scripture lesson part. And, you know, now that this decision has been made today to make it a celebration as it's usually done, let's see if we can identify an interesting, possibly a different perspective on the whole Palm Sunday event, festival, occasion. Now, there were a lot of backseat people in that crowd. In fact, everybody was a backseat person. The only one who was in the driver's seat was Jesus. Now, this was Jesus' show from the very beginning to the end. Everybody else there was just a spectator. They were invited to look and to see, to shout for joy, and welcome the one who comes. So let's ask and let's wonder if the crowd that lined the streets of Jerusalem were genuinely glad to see Jesus, or if the celebration revealed something else. Now, did you notice any significant omissions from Luke's account? There are no palms in this Palm Sunday parade, and they do not shout, "Hosanna." Instead, they quote from Psalm 118. It's a psalm for pilgrims that are coming to Jerusalem. So the question is, did they see him as the one that they really wanted? Or are they simply in a psalm-singing mood? I mean, the whole affair could be read from different perspectives. Now, on one hand, there are militaristic overtones. If you read the verses preceding the Palm Sunday account in Luke, you see Jesus telling the parable of a nobleman who went to claim a kingdom. Now, this story ends so ruthlessly that any attempt to put Jesus in the place of that nobleman is uncomfortable. Yet, isn't Jesus riding in to claim a kingdom? Isn't this whole Palm Sunday proclamation about Jesus declaring who he is? Certainly it is. But Jesus is also careful to announce who he is in contrast to the kings existing and of this world. While there are elements that could be lined up with conquering generals in this account, such as the commandering of an animal for the purpose of presentation, or let's say riding into the city, surrounded by his loyal followers, singing praise. Both of these were prerogatives of the Roman military generals. But there are subtle signals that Jesus is declaring himself to be a different kind of conquering hero. Unlike the generals, he wears no crown. His crown will come later, a crown of thorns pressed upon him in derision. The psalm sung to Jesus does not invoke King David, as do Matthew and Mark's versions of the story. However, Luke's quote does echo the angelic chorus from the infancy story at the beginning of Luke's account, and it ultimately speaks of peace on earth. The nobleman in the parable kills those who oppress his rule, while Christ, he will shortly give his life to save those who oppose him. In Luke's mind, at least, The nobleman of the parable is not, could not be Jesus. He is perhaps the ruler of this world, or Satan, as one commentator I've heard suggest, against whom Jesus' life stands firmly in opposition. Now, whether it was in Jesus' planning or in Luke's telling, we are meant to know from this account that Jesus was indeed claiming a kingdom. But it was a kingdom not of this world or of this world's way of doing things. It was something new. It was something different. It was an answer to prayers that we didn't even know to pray before Jesus came. So this brings us back to a question I asked in the first place. What can we know about the motivations of the people who lined the parade route on that first Palm Sunday? Do we know anything? Well, on the one hand, we probably know nothing. But we do know that people like spectacles. And whether this was a large crowd or a small diversion from the spectacle that was passed over time in Jerusalem, we'll never know. It could have been either. Many of those who were shouting that day probably had no idea at all who the man on the colt really was. Nor did they know enough to seek solace. They knew not enough to seek peace from him. And despite the song they were singing to him, the crowd's fickleness would soon be revealed in a few days' time. There was confusion. I mean, I think you can see it anytime and anywhere in today's day and age. Have you ever gone to some kind of an event and found that there were people just there because they were there to have fun? They may not have known what it's about. They may not care what it's about, but they know they were there and they were having a good time. So, yes, perhaps some were earnestly searching. Those who stood there, those who observed and they sang, those who waved their palms, those that were there hoping that maybe there was someone who could give them a reason to hold on to their own faith. Maybe there were a few who held out their hands to him and hoped that what would cross their palms would be grace for living, a sign of power. Maybe, but we don't know. But we do know that our own motivations are often misplaced. Sometimes they're distracted. And then again, sometimes they're focused. Sometimes we do have an idea of what we're doing, and sometimes we're just as lost as any of the pilgrims were who were in Jerusalem on that day. So it's probably safe to assume that they were all over the place too. And that means that some number of them didn't know who Jesus was. However, some of them did know of him, and they were genuinely glad to see him. Now today, we have the benefit of knowing this story from the beginning to the end. We know that the next chapter brings much pain and much sorrow. I pray that all of us here now know who Jesus was, know who he is, and that we all know what he did for each and every one of us. And we should all be glad to know him, to accept him into our lives, and we should all be genuinely glad to see him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand as we sing The Church of One's Foundation.
friends, go forth humbly to serve the God whose love endures forever. Go forth in the name of Christ, who entered Jerusalem on a lowly donkey. Go forth in the strength of the Holy Spirit that calls us to rejoice in this very day that God has made. And lastly, go forth remembering again that God's love, it endures forever. Amen.